Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I wanted teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. A few days ago, there were several articles in USA Today and CNBC and other media outlets about women and money. They talked about women being uncomfortable talking about money, that women lack confidence about money decisions, that women are indecisive about investment decisions. So today, I want to talk about the seven things I know about women and money. This broadcast is for women and men, mothers and fathers, as well as grandmothers and grandfathers. It is in keeping with our February theme of love and romance. And I know today was supposed to be about planning the wedding of your dreams that you can afford, but that is going to wait until next week because this week's message is more important. Please listen in and pass the link on to all of your friends. I have mentored many women in my life as a financial consultant, as a trainer in the financial industry, as a volunteer in my community, on community nonprofit boards, and in my personal life. Empowering women to believe in themselves and to be the best they can be is a core value of my life work. It is with that hope to empower you, the listener, to believe in your intelligence, your competence, and your already existing quiver of skills, to release your fears, shames, and embarrassments about money. Here are truths I have learned about women and money over the last three decades of my life. 1. Women manage money for their families every day and do an amazing job. Whether it is shopping for groceries, clipping coupons from the paper or internet, taking proper care of clothing, getting shoes to the repair shop, researching financial aid programs, or just figuring out the system in order to get a financial advantage, women are doing the most saving and spending in this world. I know a single woman with two children from a previous marriage who has never worked outside the home before her divorce. With only a high school degree and a lot of enthusiasm and drive, she obtained a job as an administrative assistant at a private university, which afforded her a chance to take one or two courses a year free of charge at that university or any other private university nearby. In addition, she encouraged her children and inspired them to work hard, resulting in several private schools offering her children tuition-free attendance due to their exceptional academic performance. She managed to get her bachelor's degree, and all her children have high school degrees, because she figured out how to make that happen by understanding how the system worked. This is an example of good money management. Another woman I know who was widowed and worked as an administrator at our local public utility worked to save money for her daughter's college tuition by saving money every month. She would come to see me and we put the money aside regularly over a 10-year period. Her daughter worked hard in school, made a commitment to volunteer work, and with some help received a nomination to the Naval Academy. Last time I saw her, she was in the military, flying planes, serving our country. That's another great example of good money management. Each time a woman goes to the grocery store armed with coupons, checking out the coupons for the products she regularly uses, and saving money from $5 to $250, she's managing money effectively. Taking proper care of clothing so it lasts longer, repairing shoes instead of throwing them away, changing the oil in the car at regular intervals, keeping the tires properly inflated and rotated, all these simple maintenance issues that usually fall to the women in the household are important for saving money and proper management of assets. Women deal with the realities of life from the time they enter puberty and learn that their gender is the one that will be the incubator of gestation for another being. They become the responsible ones. Their bodies are vulnerable to impregnation and the aftermath. Women are strong, and they make do for their families. They face the truth and reality of the economy like no one else. Women live longer and need to use their savings, spending, and money management skills to care for themselves and their families, and in doing so, they are amazing. 2. Women do math whenever they cook, sew, garden, shop, save, and manage time. I learned math from my mother. We made oatmeal cookies together when I was little, and she taught me how to measure the flour, sugar, raisins, and nuts, how to cut the butter stick in half, and what that meant was a half a stick of butter. As she did that, she showed me how 1/2 cup of flour was 1/2 of a cup, literally. She used every teachable moment she had to teach me about numbers. Every time a woman measures a cup of flour, doubles a recipe, measures out 1/2 teaspoon of salt, she is doing math. When she cuts an apple in half, in quarters, in eighths, she is doing fractions. When she cuts a pattern and measures to make sure it will fit, she is calculating in multiples of 1/8 of an inch for each seam that she needs to increase or decrease. Before she spreads the fertilizer on the lawn, she reads the directions and mixes the amount based on the calculations of the area of land she has to cover. If she is shopping for a new mattress and there's a 40% off sale, first she has to know the regular market price to make sure that the prices are not being marked up and then marked down again by this so-called sale. Then she has to figure out that she's saving $800 on a $2,000 mattress set, with it costing $1,200 before sales tax. And then she needs to add the 8% sales tax, or the $96, to know if this almost $1,300 purchase is in her budget. Beyond these calculations, if she needs to pick up her baby at daycare, then run to the store to pick up dinner, she has to calculate the time it will take her to travel from one place to another, based on experience and knowledge of traffic. The time of the daycare, the time in the store, the time to get home, and the time to cook, whatever it is she's making for dinner. Women are good in math because they practice it every day and across multiple disciplines. 3. Women have more money than men but control less. Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Women live longer than men. As a result, they inherit more money, and because they are savvy spenders, accumulate more wealth. Unfortunately, they turn it over to men to manage for them. Why is that? Because somewhere many women got the idea that they couldn't handle money. This is a scorcher of a topic for me. I grew up with a stay-at-home mom who paid all the family bills. My father paid her a salary, which was the amount they agreed upon, for her to run our household, buy groceries, and buy clothes, shoes, etc. for her and for me. When costs of goods went up, she would ask for a raise. However, my father made all the investment decisions because most of the money he earned went into his business retirement plan, which he controlled because he was liable for the returns for him and his employees. It wasn't until my grandmother died that my mother inherited a trust that was set up for her as part of my grandmother's estate plan. Now she had some real money, admittedly already invested in some quality blue chip stocks, but she was a very shrewd investor. She read the stock pages daily, when you could get a listing in the local paper. Now she would probably have them on her smartphone and look at them daily at the close. She found out when the dividends were to be paid and checked her statements to make sure they appeared as expected. She read voraciously about companies the way some people read novels. Now the fun begins. I had been in the financial industry about 3 years. I was young and working to prove myself. I was one of 2 women in the Merrill Lynch office out of a total of 60 representatives of the firm locally. I had just made enough money trading my own account to buy myself a new car and had come by to show it to my parents. Interest rates on money market funds were at an all-time high, 16%, and my mother asked me about Exxon, which at the time was about $30 a share, paying a $3 dividend, a 10% yield on a stock that had tremendous growth potential. I shared what I knew, and then later that week she called me and bought 500 shares. It turned out to be the bottom of the market for Exxon that year. After that, every time I saw her, she asked me in front of my dad what the price of the stock was, and every time it was higher than when she bought it. It gave her such pleasure to be outperforming my dad and his portfolio. My mother was a good money manager. She understood how to look for value, for income, for good company, just like she knew how to buy quality everywhere else in her life. She understood having a cash reserve and diversifying her portfolio. She studied the market, the companies, and she was an informed investor. It was the one area of her life where she didn't worry about being perfect. My mother was unusual because she believed in herself, and she didn't want to defer to a man to manage her money. She voted her stock proxies herself and even went to an annual meeting or two. But she did end up with all the money that my father had saved all of his life. You can manage your own investments. You can teach yourself how to do it. You can find an advisor who empowers you. Don't let anyone intimidate you with jargon that implies you don't understand what you're doing or who gives you sexist examples of how women, quote, can't manage their money. Remember to have a cash reserve of 6 to 9 months of expenses in an insured account. Then use asset allocation strategies appropriate for your risk tolerance and age. Rebalance as needed, continue to learn about companies that interest you, and review your statements regularly. Read the proxy statements and vote your proxies. Go to annual meetings. The expenses to do so are deductible, and voice your opinion. If you want to see more women on the board, nominate them on your proxy. Say so at the meetings. Yes, women are more risk averse, but they end up with better returns over time for that reason. You know what you're doing with money. 4, women who build their portfolios like they build their wardrobe are successful investors. Okay, you fashionistas out there, here's my take on women who are successful investors. They build their wardrobe like they build their portfolio like they build their wardrobe. As a Project Runway addict, you could even say they build their investment portfolios like a designer builds a collection. Start with a good foundation. In your wardrobe, it would be a good suit or a little black dress. In your investment portfolio, after you've set aside your cash reserve of 6 to 9 months of expenses, it might be a good quality stock fund of global leaders in their industries. Just as you would add to your wardrobe with a silk shell, a cashmere sweater, a plain cotton t-shirt, and a pair of jeans, you may also want to add individual companies to your portfolio. You may want to research those companies that make the products you use every day and add shares of those companies to your portfolio. Remember, you don't want all your clothes to look the same, and you don't want to have too much of any one company in your portfolio either, or any one industry. Once or twice a year as the seasons change, you clean your closet, don't you? You get rid of things with stains, clothes that don't fit, things that are worn out, right? You do the same thing with your investments. Has that company you bought appreciated in value? Is it worth more than 10% of your portfolio? Maybe it's time to rebalance, to sell off anything that's grown beyond 10% of your portfolio, or sell off a company you no longer favor. Remember to look at the tax consequences and take gains and losses to offset each other to minimize your tax liability. You may have other companies in mind to replace the ones you've sold off, or you may want to save cash for a sale. If fear and shame and intimidation convince you that you won't be a successful investor, consider creating a paper portfolio. Just as you might shop the pages of your favorite fashion magazine, cutting out looks that might be for you, do the same with your portfolio. Give yourself $100,000 in paper money and invest it on paper. Start with researching a few funds, mutual funds or exchange-traded funds. Most financial firms have research available to you free of charge, even if you don't have an account. And of course, there's always the library. Think about the companies whose products you use and that your children and your parents use. Think about growing and established trends. Look up the companies online and pay attention to the things that matter to you. How much debt do they have? Do they pay a dividend or distribute frequent stock splits? Are they making any money? Is the stock at a year high or middle of its range or at a low for the last 5 years? Pick 5 to 10 individual companies to follow and buy them on paper in your portfolio. Most people cannot keep track of more than 10 companies. The suggested perfect number is 8. Decide what day you're going to buy them, create a spreadsheet, note the price and number of shares of each company that you buy and the date that you buy it. Remember to spend 10% or less on any one company. At the end of every day, note the price on your spreadsheet and make a chart at the bottom so you can follow the movement of each company and your portfolio. At the end of 3 months, evaluate your performance against the benchmark performance of the Standard & Poor's 500 for that period. You can look that up online. Some newspapers actually give you that information in their daily business section. And see how you compare to that benchmark. During these 3 months, you will be surprised at how much you've learned and how well you've done and how confident you feel. 5, when the stock market goes down, it's just like a sale. One thing I love about the internet is that you can sign up with companies whose products you like to be notified about special deals and offers on their products. Just last week, Kate Spade had a one-day 70% off sale on selected handbags. So I checked what was on sale, and although there were some lovely bags, there wasn't one that fit into my wardrobe at this time. The stock market doesn't send you an email, but if you set up your smartphone apps right, you can get an alert when a stock you own or one you're looking at goes down a certain percent during the trading day. Instead of looking at this event as a crisis, consider it a sale. Yes, that's right. Employ the very same techniques you would when you find out that Kate Spade is on sale or that there's a sale at your favorite shopping site. Is this something that fits into my portfolio? Is the company still well managed? Do I want more of it? How is the dividend at this price? Would I want to own this if it was the end of Western civilization as we know it? The last comment about the end of Western civilization as we know it usually applies when there are extreme events that cause a market correction, like in 2008 and 1987. Usually after those events, there's a period of adjustment, and when you look back a year or two later, you know the entire market was on sale, and all you wish you had was what we call cash for the crash. So put your fears aside, and remember when your stocks go down, most of the time it is just a sale, an opportunity for you to buy something you've wanted to own, that you've wanted to have in your portfolio, and to buy it at a good price. 6, women investors get better long-term results than men do. Most of the women investors I worked with did better over the long term than the men did. Women tend to be more disciplined, do their research very well, and choose companies or funds to complement what they already own. In addition, they tend to keep better records and notes about performance expectations. Men can actually be more emotional when making investment decisions. On more than one occasion, I had to talk men out of selling their entire portfolios during times the market was dropping 5 to 10% in a day, reminding them of why they owned the companies they owned. Men can also brag more about the killing they made in the market, something women rarely do. Those killings in the market usually are less than 5% of the total portfolio that the men own. So don't assume when you hear these stories that all of their wealth is managed that way or that they're getting a fantastic 26 to 35% on all their money. When men make mistakes, you won't hear about it at all. So know there are a lot of trades out there that do go sour. One client of mine reserved Monday for managing her investments. She reviewed her statements, research reports, and considered where she wanted to make changes in her portfolio. We talked once a month to go over her portfolio, the economy, and the market. If she had money in her account sufficient to invest, we looked at the overall structure of her account, her asset allocation, and considered her needs for cash before I made any recommendations and she decided to invest. Annually, we met in person to go over how her investments were working for her. Since she lived on her investment income, we frequently looked over all her accounts, including those at other firms. Another woman who lived in the country subscribed to a newsletter with various stock recommendations for new and up-and-coming companies. The majority of her assets were in large global leaders, but she liked to invest in something new, from companies involved in genetic engineering to computer software. She would call to ask me about a company, and I'd look up what research I could find. We'd compare notes, and then she'd decide whether to buy, wait, or put in an order at below market price. She was always a joy to work with, and I learned a great deal from her as well. Both of these women were disciplined, careful, and frugal, yet lived full lives with hobbies and activities that kept them busy every day. Each one of them reserved a time to focus on her investments, just like their other avocations in their lives. You can do it too. 7, women who share financial responsibilities in their household set up their families for success. When girls and boys live in a family where women manage the finances or share the responsibility for managing the finances, it becomes the normal way of doing business for these children. where couples share this task, cross-training each other on how to pay the bills, make the financial sacrifices, and save for retirement and their children's educational future. Coming to agreements of how money will be saved, spent, invested, it makes for a more peaceful union and results in less fighting over money. As I mentioned last week, couples that are in love need to talk frankly and honestly about money before they marry. How to do that? Make a date to do just that, followed by a nice dinner or lunch together afterwards. Actually, you may need 3 dates. Each of you agrees to write down how much debt each has from student loans, credit cards, mortgages, income tax, alimony, child support, and any other obligation that has a financial requirement associated with it. That is for one meeting. Then, for the next meeting, each writes down their salary, the amount taken out of their pay for taxes, retirement contributions, stock purchase plans, health care, and finally the amount of take-home dollars after all those deductions. For your last meeting, each member of the couple needs to write down a list of assets they own, like a house, retirement plan, IRA, 401k, 403b, and investment account. You may not be able to go over everything in one sitting, since you may find that the emotional charge of sharing that information is just too much to handle at one time. Be wary of financial bullying or intimidation by either party. If you feel bad about yourself or your situation after the first meeting, then you may want to ask yourself if this person is someone you want to share your life with after all. Anyone who says, "Is that all you make?" or states, "How could you pile on all that student debt?" or calls you names, or says, "How could you be so stupid to do whatever?" may not be all that concerned about you. They may be more concerned about dominance and control rather than creating a life together. No one is perfect, and if you do have a lot of debt, then certainly be prepared for the question, "How do you plan to pay it off?" or even, "I can't marry you until you pay off that debt." Since women live longer than men, women's involvement in the way money is saved, spent, and invested is crucial for a woman to be confident or knowledgeable about her future. I've heard stories about men who borrow against the family home without the wife knowing, often to finance some investment scheme that failed. A wife who never paid the bills until her husband had a heart attack discovered purchases of lingerie and jewelry on his credit card, gifts that went to another woman and not to her. When you are married, you are jointly liable for debt incurred during your marriage, even if you didn't take out the loan. So be involved, protect yourself, know what is going on in your financial life together. Disagreements about money are the number one cause for divorce. So if you can't discuss money before you marry, it will be much, much worse afterward, especially if you have hidden debt or obligations from your spouse-to-be, or if they have been hidden from you. I believe women don't talk about their money because they have more going on for them than just the balance in their bank account or the size of their investment account. Women's lives are richer with more depth and breadth than many men can know. You have the knowledge and skills to manage and invest your money. Do so with the confidence and care you bring to the other parts of your life. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. I hope if you know of any young women in your life, or even older women, that you think might benefit from today's show, please share with them the link to blogtalkradio.com/moneysmartsforyou, or ask them to wait a couple of days and search for Money Smarts for You on the podcast section of iTunes. Subscribe to the show as well. Next week, we will go over how to plan the wedding of your dreams that you can afford. If you have any questions or thoughts that you'd like to email to me, do so at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at MoneySmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number 4U.com, and U is the letter U. And I will do my best to cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at MoneySmartsForYou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.